And we were hearing from Julian in the news there about that Super Mario game, the unopened one, sold for $660,000, over £400,000. You will have pricked up your ears, especially if you're into your gadgets and you love your tech stuff. Well, we have got the man for you if that is the kind of person you are. He's called the Gadget Detective. It's Fevzi Turkalp. Knows his stuff when it comes to tech. Does our Fevzi? Hiya. Nice to talk again. How are you? Hi.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good stuff. Well, I mean, obviously, I do want to talk through the tech stories of the week, but just very briefly in a couple of sentences, what's your, I mean, $660,000 for a video game. What's your take on that?
Well, these things are classics, aren't they? I mean, people grew up with these video games. Certain people will be very nostalgic about them, and an unopened one of those, it's a bit like, you know, the first handmade Apple computer made in Steve Jobs' garage. You know, those sorts of items are special. And unique, and therefore of high value. Could be a bottle of wine. Could be an unopened computer game. All sorts of things have collectible value now.
Yeah, amazing. Such a lot of money. Anyway, let's get into some of the stories this week. Now, loot boxes in mobile games. There's a bit of concern over them. What's that about?
Yeah, so loot boxes are interesting. So they're things that occur in games where you can buy a box. You're offered at various points in the game to open a box. You buy the box, and it may have something of great value in it, or it may not. It's a bit like what they used to have for kids called lucky bags. But these things can cost a lot of money, and there is robustly verified research is what it says, that says that gaming loot boxes and problem gambling have been linked, that you know, one can lead to the other, and in fact that these are games of chance, but they're not regulated by gambling laws, and particularly I think they should be, given that 93% of children who play video games, up to 40% of them have opened loot boxes, and it's quite remarkable, and they use psychological techniques to prompt people in the midst of an exciting game to encourage them to buy it. So they'll use things like fear of missing out, limited time special offers where the clock ticks down and it puts you under pressure to press the buy button. Often kids are buying with their parents' cards attached to the device as well, which is another problem. But these games were designed to be addictive, and they have employed, some of these companies have employed psychologists to work out the point during the game when we will be at our weakest and most susceptible to being pushed to make a purchase. And these boxes have things of value, because although the contents are virtual, they can be a virtual weapon to use in the game, or a costume, or something that would, you know, enable you to progress in the game. They have value because you can also buy those items. The fact that they're virtual doesn't make any difference. They have value, and therefore this is a game of chance involving the ability to win something of value. I can't see how that's not gambling. So
it's a lot of money we're talking about, isn't it? Potentially, I'm reading that 5% of gamers generate half the entire revenue from the boxes. So that 5% must be spending, as kids, they must be spending fortunes.
Yeah, so the crucial 5% for the industry, which is the top 5% spenders, can spend more than £70 a month on boxes. And I can tell you a lot of them spend hundreds. And that's a problem right there. That's an addictive behaviour. Children cannot generally afford that sort of money. Interestingly enough, young men are the most likely to use loot boxes, with young age and lower education correlating with increased uses. So they're taking advantage, arguably, of people who are vulnerable.
I cannot imagine, though, youngsters being able to spend hundreds of pounds every month without the parents being aware. But of course, that's just me being stupid, because in a lot of households, the parents really don't take an interest. They use these video games almost like a babysitter, don't they?
Yeah, and it's sometimes difficult, because you might get a bill, but it may not be clearly itemized as to what that is. Child could misrepresent the spending in some way. Children often know more about the devices that they're using than the parents that provide them with the devices. Some parents may not see it as a problem, but that doesn't mean it's not one. Could be that the parent is equally addicted.
Right.
You know, so you have all these issues. But I think the key starting point is that these offers of loot boxes, which can contain things of value or not, which are clearly games of chance, should be regulated as gambling, and other forms of gambling are regulated, including the age groups of people who can do it.
Yeah, and the House of Lords, they would back you up because they have actually asked for just this. Why is it taking so long then?
I think gambling legislation is notoriously tricky for governments to bring in because of the internet. So in the days when all gambling was done in betting shops and at race courses and sports events, it was easy to regulate because it was all within the boundaries of the United Kingdom and the government could regulate it. Now, a lot of these companies threaten to take their activities online and beyond the taxable reach of HMRC. And therefore, the government finds itself compromising with certain companies because they don't want them to go abroad, as it were, and then people here gamble, but because they're registered abroad, no tax is payable in this country. So there are these sorts of issues, but this is a case of child protection as well as protecting adults as well. There are vulnerable adults, and children by definition are vulnerable to offers of gambling, and it should not be done, in my view, and it should be regulated, and these companies should make other ways of doing it, because often these games are, in quotes, free. And you start using them, they're designed to be addictive, people become addicted to them, they're designed in such a way as you have very little reasonable chance of progressing through the game if you don't start shelling out money. You know, the ability to earn a lot of the credits and the weapons and the costumes and the things that you need are made difficult to progress beyond a certain point without actually, you know, putting your hand in your pocket. It would be far more honest, albeit less profitable for those companies, for them to charge for the game. At least you know what it costs, and you're paying it up front, and they're not using psychological shenanigans to encourage people to gamble.
Well, I'm sure you'll keep an eye on that story for us, Fevzi. Looking forward to finding out what the gadget of the week is from our gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. So what have you found this week, Fevzi?
Okay, so it's a smartwatch, but one with a difference. It's called the T-Rex Pro. It kind of gives a clue to what sort of smartwatch it might be. It's not for dinosaurs. It's from a brand called Amazfit. Amazfit, people might not know that brand. It's made by a company called Zepp Health, who are best known, well, they're not known actually, but they are manufacturers of smartwatches for some very famous brands. And they are now striking out on their own with their own brand called Amazfit. They've been doing it for a while. And they remind me a bit of, if you think back 20, 25 years to things like companies like Samsung and LG, those companies back in those days were not well-known companies. They were manufacturers for people like Sony. So even now you often find LG or Samsung screens in Sony television sets. So they were making their money out of providing, you know, high quality components for others. And in the same way, Zepp Health have been doing smartwatches for others and are now doing it on their own with Amazfit. So this one is called the T-Rex Pro, and it's an outdoor ruggedized watch. It's big and chunky. They've reached out to me, obviously, because I'm well known as a sort of rugged outdoor type myself. And settle down, would you? obviously well known as a, you know, one of those people. And they've reached out to me. So this is a rugged smartwatch. So it does all the things that a normal smartwatch does and a lot more. And it does it at a very good price. And we maybe come to that at the end. So it's got a round screen, 1.3-inch color AMOLED screen, which means it's very crisp. The display is always on, which is a feature that's only come to Apple Watches in recent generations. It's got 100 different sports modes, so every type of sport that one might engage in, it can record the distance, the speed, your heart rate changes, the calories that you've burned, any other exercise data during these workouts that can help you improve upon your performance and achieve your goals. It's got a GPS chip in it, but not just GPS, so, you know, satellite navigation. You may know that there are times when, you know, you can't get a good lock onto a GPS satellite and it sort of faffs about as to where you are. This thing can lock onto four different satellite networks. So GPS, GLONASS, which is the Russian one, Beidou, which I think is the Chinese one, and Galileo, which is the European one. So it's compatible with all of those, so it will locate you well. Wherever you are, it will withstand 10 atmospheres of pressure, which is more than the human body will withstand. It's about 100 metres, I think, it will go down. It does blood oxygen saturation reading. So I don't know if you've seen a pulse oximeter before. People talk about them now in relation to COVID.
This is the thing the doctors put on the end of your finger.
Exactly. It clips on the end of your finger. It shines a light through the blood vessel and it works out how much oxygen is in the blood. This does it without clipping anything onto your finger. It just works it out, shining a light through the skin of under the watch itself into your wrist. And it gives you a percentage of how much oxygen is in your blood. Now, sporting types like me will like that, because when we're ascending large mountains, we have to be careful not to let our blood oxygen level drop too far. But actually, it's something that's useful, you know, for general health, because, I mean, thinking of COVID in particular, one of the things that sometimes happens is people often don't have symptoms, outward symptoms, but their blood oxygen levels drop, and maybe sometimes imperceptibly until they get into trouble. So something like this can be good for that. It does 24-hour heart rate monitoring, tells you if your heart rate goes too high and too low. It pulls together all the data into a sort of simple assessment of, it gives you a health score, like an overall health score called a PAI health assessment score. Mm-hmm. It also does sleep monitoring, so it will not only record how much you sleep, when you sleep, but what type of sleep. Are you in deep sleep, REM sleep, where you dream, or is it only light sleep? Light sleep, although you may be asleep all night, if the bulk of your sleep is light sleep, then it's not regenerative, it's not restorative, and maybe you have to do things to improve, you know, what they call sleep hygiene, you know, like not staring at blue screens just before you sleep, and trying to keep devices like that out of the bed and all that sort of thing. Also, the battery, it'll do, with typical use, it'll do 18 days of use. So
mine lasts about a week if I'm lucky.
Well, my Apple Watch lasts about 36 hours. Ooh. So this will do 18 days of typical use, about 9 days with heavy use. And the nice thing is it takes about an hour and a half to charge from completely dead to completely full. So that's rather good as well. And because it's got Bluetooth and that, it can connect up to your smartphone, so it will give you text messages and alerts and all those normal things. Now, the really good bit, it's £139.
Gosh, that's cheap for those, isn't it? For all that?
It is. Because if that was a better-known brand, you would be talking about £350, £450, something like that.
Sure, yeah.
Or more if it's an Apple one, but I mean, even without that. So I've given it 4 stars out of 5 because it's very functional. The rugged design of this particular one, the T-Rex Pro, might not be for everybody. I mean, not everyone will be as rugged as I am, obviously. So some people may want something that
is... deluded.
Apparently, yes. It doesn't check for delusion, so the jury's out on that one.
We're going to have to wrap up, Fevzy, but I think that's amazing for that price. The only final question I want to ask you is, when's it in the shops?
It's available now. I've checked it on a well-known website named after a South American river, and it's there now.
Brilliant. Fevzy, as always, cheers. A pleasure. Take care. Have a good week and happy Easter. Cheers.